Welcome to North Shore News and Interviews on Amherst Island Radio. Each week, we keep you updated on newsworthy events, happenings, and conversations that we've had with people in the local community and beyond.
A citizen-led group focused on trails in the area is looking to find alternative trail routes leading to the Cataraqui Trail in Strathcona. The group presented plans including work in collaboration with the town of Greater Napanee going forward. The group presented a Plan A and Plan B for council to consider. Plan A for County Road 1 to the Riverside Cemetery Loop includes closing the CN Rail Bridge and creating trails on town land. Plan B, listed as a long-term plan, includes a crossing of the 401. Trails in this scenario could include a protected pedestrian lane or a bridge overpass. Plan B also outlines a Cataraqui Trail connector in Strathcona East. Once staff and the group have reported back, council will need to decide if the project will be run by the town or the citizen-led group. The group will also be tasked with studying the feasibility of a connection that links the in-town portion of the former CN rail line to the development of an in-town urban loop. The group's mandate noted they look to broaden conversations related to permitted user groups to ensure wider, safer uses while acknowledging the growing needs of the entire community. Member of the committee, Mike Sewell, explained one of the reasons they're looking to partner with the town.
This is the interesting thing. We're a citizens group. And so for us, we've met with the ministry, but these are unofficial conversations. And I can say that I personally had three unofficial conversations with the ministry. And again, they've given me good information, but at the same time, it's the kind of information that's unofficial simply because we don't really hold any position, so to speak.
Sewell noted the vision of the group.
The vision is really to just try to tie existing trails in town to potential routes that could get us out of town and back, and in many cases, make these loops that are enjoyable to a wide range of users.
Sewell spoke about the group's different members and the benefits of their varied backgrounds.
We represent a varied amount of background and ages and professions, and with that, we bring different things to the table, which I think has really been good for us. Rather than hear always the like-minded individuals talking, it's been really good for us to have that mix. We represent stakeholders, landowners, and in the stakeholders, they're active transportation supporters and just simply citizens. And so the mix was really good.
So we'll mention some of the work the group does.
We've had quite a few walking meetings. We've had site visits. We've had robust discussions that did include town officials as per needed. We had conversation with previous administrations. And for myself, for example, I've had several conversations with several councils over several years. This is not a new issue by any means. We have to have the conversations, get them out on the table, find out where we're at and what we're looking for.
Sewell explains what a walking meeting is.
It would be very difficult to talk about trails or potential trails if we haven't actually been out and walked some of these routes. So there were quite a few times where the entire group, we got together, we met, we said we're going to designate an area and we'd go and meet on Derry Ave, or we'd meet over at the Riverside Cemetery, or we'd meet down by the boardwalk or the Riverine. And we would do these walks. And as we're going, we're looking around. So it was more than just sitting in a room. We actually got out and started to look at some of these places.
Sewell spoke about other locations they visited as well.
We also ended up hiking some of these out-of-town locations. And in doing so, when we were doing the hydro line walkabouts, and we did meet landowners. Some were happy to see us. Some maybe not so happy to see us. But again, we were trying to be very mindful and respectful of where we went. Again, we were on foot and we were just simply exploring options.
Sewell noted the importance of conversation.
The conversation has also evolved. And I think this is one of the things that I felt was really good about this committee is that we came together as a group, as individuals, but we started to gel as a group in the sense that we started to understand that there's a bigger, wider conversations. So we started to look at even a wider vision of what active transportation could look like so that we can include more people.
So we'll outline some of the other groups they've spoken with.
We have on occasion met with some of the administration, with the Cataraqui Trail administration, and also the KMP Trail Association, to try to get their perspective and to find out how they make things work, what they do. And we've talked to them around logistics and setting up. And it's been really valuable for us. And again, this has helped expand our conversation, not only out of town, but what that might look like heading to town, in town, and the core area.
CAO Matthew Grant noted the work of the group.
I've had the pleasure of sitting down with the group on a couple of occasions, and they've done some great work.
At the meeting, Councillor Dave Pinnell had a question about the group's Plan B proposal.
When does the conversation need to start with the MTO on these Plan Bs? Because in your unofficial meetings that you've had with them, have they given you any indication of when that they'll be passing through here with the expanded lanes?
Grant noted conversations that have happened with the MTO.
I'm pleased to say those conversations have already begun. So through Michael and his team, we have already registered official interest with the MTO about being able to go under or over or around the 401, both for purposes of recreation, but also utilities. And so they have registered that interest. They haven't necessarily come back with an answer, but we have it on file and we will continue to follow up.
Grant spoke about the work that needs to be done going forward and what council will be deciding on.
First, the reports specifically about the bridge. I think we can do that, that report relatively quickly and bring that back, that body of work. And a motion to bring back a report that would explore both what it would look like to have this project remain a citizen-led initiative, and then what would it look like if the town were to take this on. And then we can bring back what both of those bodies of work would look like and the expectations of the municipality in terms of cost and staff time.
Mayor Terry Richardson commended the work of the group.
The work that this committee has done has been absolutely marvelous. You know, it doesn't surprise me because of the quality people that we have on this committee, but with respect to plans and phases, getting this thing done is extremely reasonable. And I'm glad I've heard from other members of council how they support and want to see this come to fruition.
Richardson went on to note what has been accomplished so far.
We've come from something that wasn't going to be possible to right at our fingertips at this point. So I think we've come a long way in the last year and a half or 2 years.
For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans. This is North Shore News. Loyalist Township Council approved the draft plan for a subdivision in Odessa that would include 584 new residential units. Creekford Developments submitted the plan at Council's meeting this week. The proposed subdivision is located south of County Road 2 in the west end of Odessa. The 584 units would include 390 semi-detached units and 194 single-detached units. Four new streets are proposed along with the subdivision, as well as extensions of Babcock Boulevard and Fields Way. The site also contains an environmental protection block, two park blocks, and a multi-use path that connects the south end of the development and County Road 2. Staff's report noted the design of the subdivision complements the layout of the adjacent Babcock Mills neighborhood, which is expected to reach full build-out by 2025. A statutory public meeting was held April 24, 2023, where a number of residents detailed concerns regarding parking, drainage, park location, school capacity, traffic design, and speed enforcement. At their November 26, 2024 meeting, council brought these concerns to the company and directed them to bring forward a new draft, which is now approved. Approvals planner David Casemore explains the benefits of the proposed subdivision.
From the planning perspective, the design is doesn't consume too much land. It is compact in its form and provides housing types that aren't readily available in Odessa. Appears to conform to the Planning Act, the provincial policy statement 2024, the official plan of the township and the county.
Casemore speaks about public input from residents.
Public comments, we really haven't received any except for that from that first public meeting. The consultant had made quite a few changes. We had a lot of feedback from council and the public at that point, but once those changes were made moving forward, we really didn't hear anything come from the public from that perspective.
Casemore outlined some of the work and studies that went into the plan.
We did have a few peer reviews on traffic, noise, as well as environmental impact assessment that was done. The arborist for the applicant worked with our peer reviewer, and met some requirements that the MECP had regarding species at risk. The traffic consultant worked with our engineering department, instituted some traffic calming, jut outs, roundabouts, etc.
Based on the direction received from township staff during the pre-consultation meeting, the primary entrance to the development will be located at the northwestern end of the site on the south side of Main Street. The report noted most of the commercial development and institutional facilities within Odessa are located along Main Street, with Ernestown Secondary School, Odessa Public School, a local convenience store, three churches, and the Loyalist Fire Department all situated within 600 meters of the northern boundary of the site. A sidewalk along the southern side of Main Street and a marked pedestrian crossing connect these services to the site. Full transit service is not currently available in Odessa, but the report noted that should it be introduced, the grid pattern of the street design and connection to the adjacent subdivision will allow for logical route planning through the area. For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans. This is North Shore News. In the face of U.S. tariffs on Canadian goods, Loyalist Township is asking the federal and provincial governments to ensure municipalities are part of the coordinated Team Canada approach. The request was sent along with a letter of support from the Eastern Ontario Wardens Caucus for the action the governments have already taken. The request calls on the Canadian and Ontario governments to remove any barriers for municipalities in choosing Canadian companies and services for capital projects or other supplies. The letter notes the importance of continuing to invest in infrastructure to provide stability, jobs, and to support the social and economic prosperity of communities now and into the future. Deputy Mayor of Loyalist Township and Warden of Lennox and Addington County, Nathan Townend, spoke about the work of the Eastern Ontario Wardens Caucus and noted the importance of working together going forward.
This is coming from the Eastern Ontario Wardens Caucus, who've been quite outspoken since the issue of tariffs, you know, have emerged. I think, and I'm sure the mayor will have comments. I won't speak on his behalf as head of council, but I can speak as the warden of the county. I think the approach that all municipalities are taking in close partnership with our various advocacy associations like AMO, like ROMA, like EOWC, is to try and work very closely with the provincial government in trying to leverage as much as we can leverage to support other orders of government in protecting our Canadian and indeed our Ontario economies. And I think all of us support that endeavor in principle.
Mayor Jim Hagedorn noted the difficulty for municipalities and why a Team Canada approach is so important.
It puts the municipalities in a little bit of a different spot because we do have to adhere to all the legislations and all the agreements that are still in place despite what's going on. So, but I believe this covers a lot of ground where we work with the province and the other levels of government to make sure that everything is set up so that we can work to the best for our residents and for the country.
According to data from the Association of Municipalities of Ontario, Ontario municipalities are expected to spend between $250 and $290 billion on infrastructure in the next 10 years. The letter also calls for the removal of all legislative barriers that impact the ability to buy local, including the removal of trade barriers between provinces. This would also include compensation for municipalities should there be challenges to buying Canadian. For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans. This is North Shore News. Softball Napanee will be hosting the 2025 U17 Men's Canadian Fast Pitch Championship at the Napanee Fairgrounds. The tournament will take place from August 6th until the 10th. Director of Parks, Recreation and Culture, Chris Brown, informed council of the news.
We had some exciting news come in. So Softball Napanee was awarded the U17 Boys National Championships to be hosted in Napanee here at the fairgrounds. The tournament dates will be August 6th to 10th. So it'll be a week-long national tournament here in Napanee, and we're excited to host that.
Mayor Terry Richardson noted his support for hosting the event in the area.
Absolutely wonderful news. It's always good to showcase our municipality to the country.
According to Softball Canada, the full list of participating teams will be released after all provincial and territorial qualifiers have been completed. The Napanee Express last won the U-17 Men's Championship in 2019 when it was hosted in Saskatoon. The last time the championship was held in Ontario was 2018 in Inverkip. The men's and master men's tournaments take place in Kitchener, Ontario from August 27 to 31st. The women's tournament takes place from July 30th to August 3rd in Saskatoon. For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans. This is North Shore News. Eight initiatives in Lennox and Addington County will be funded under the 2025 Naturally Ellenday Activation Program. The fund, set up for new and existing events and products in the area, has an all-new set of guidelines this year. The selection committee for the fund made their recommendations to council after discussing 13 submitted applications. Under the new guidelines, successful projects can receive up to $4,000, now including an additional 20% for marketing support. Bath Art Fest and a music event on Amherst Island run by the Amherst Island Agricultural Society each received $2,500. While in Addington Highlands, the Land O'Lakes Speakers Forum also received $2,500. The other initiatives being funded are the Sunday Market in Bath for $1,250, Guitars and Cars in Greater Napanee for $1,875, and the Stones Throw Spring Open 2025 Disc Golf Tournament in Stone Mills for $625. Director of Community and Development Services Stephen Paul explains how the funding is broken down.
We have $40,000 is divided evenly amongst the four municipalities. We have an open application period this time. So whenever we have kind of a good number of applications, we bring our group together to do an evaluation. And we have eight projects, I guess, events that we could call them, three in Greater Napanee, three in Loyalist, one in Addington Highlands, and one in Stone Mills Township.
For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans. This is North Shore News.
This has been North Shore News and Interviews. If you have an idea for a story or want to create stories for this show, consider joining our 100% volunteer team. Contact Amherst Island Radio for more details.